Welcome back to the program. Let's go. Line number two. Say good morning to the president of the Newfoundland Labrador Teachers Association, Dean Ingram. Good morning, Dean. You're on the air.
Good morning, Patty. Thanks for having me on.
Happy to do so. You know me. I like to talk education, even in the heights of summer. So here's one quote from the news story. This is from you. Teachers and those who work in education feel disrespected by this government. Why?
Well, first of all, there's a couple things there. Is that we certainly recognize that it is ministerial purview. The Schools Act is very clear that the opening and closing dates of the school year are set by the minister. Certainly acknowledge that. In terms of disrespect, there's been some concerns about the lack of advance notice on this announcement, but also some others as well, finding out things through the media. But probably when this one that really polarized, crystallized, is that when teachers left the school system in June, they were very clear to communicate what the resumption of the 2020-2021 school year would be. Having more advanced notice on this to have more time to adjust their plans. Some of them, yes, are for personal travel, but there's some others that plans were made to actually return to their communities where they're going to be teaching. I did have one call from a teacher who was very concerned that her arrangements were such that she had bookings made to travel to her community, which would involve flight. There were shipping arranged for the materials she needed to move in this community. There were rent arrangements made for her to actually have a place to live, and her plans were to return, and these arrangements made revolved around her getting to this community on the Sunday of Labor Day weekend. Now, the situation is that she has to make her change, and the landlord of the apartment or house that she's renting, I'm not sure which it is not arriving back in this community until the Saturday. Again, these are things there. But I will say that the minister did speak with you this morning. Myself, the minister, did speak, and I'm pleased to hear this, that there was some clarity that was given, that he did indicate that for those teachers that had these types of situations and others, there would be a mechanism put in place, some discussion as to how to make the necessary adjustments arranged to address these concerns. I'm pleased to hear that. But these are where things are. So we do need to move forward. I'm certainly looking forward to having these concerns addressed.
Was it anticipated? It was for me, and it's not just in my own head, but even speaking with my wife and my buddies who are teachers, all of them, to a person, thought that it was very, very likely that a return to school earlier than normal was probably on for this year, and some of them actually really wanted it, because this is not going to be the same as years past, and to not be able to hit the ground running when the children arrive on the 9th is going to be a real problem for the students, the teachers, administrators, their families. They were all anticipating a move such as this. Is that commonplace?
It was certainly something that teachers understood, that the startup of the school year would need to be different. We certainly, in fact, me and you have spoken on several occasions over the past several weeks about the need to have professional learning implemented so that teachers would be able to have necessary in-servicing professional learning along the lines of two things. Not just the technical PL that we need, should we be moved to phase two or phase three, but also for the pedagogy. Yes, there was an anticipation. But to have the change in the date, that is where the problems come into. We certainly acknowledge that there. But that moving forward, I think it's important to get this there. Now, one thing that the other thing that came out of the conversation with me this morning, that there were some comments made that I did ask for clarification on a couple of things, not the least of which is that I think the minister was quoted in one of the other media outlets in a story that ran yesterday that some teachers interpreted that the minister was saying that the school year, in essence, ended for teachers in early June. I want to be clear, that was not the case. While students may have had their school year closing off early officially, for teachers, that was not the case. And me and the minister discussed this at length, and that's where things are. So, no, I just want to clarify, the school year for teachers did not end in early June.
I know that to be true. So, in addition, you know, we've talked about whether it be some additional training, if and when scenario B or C is present and there's a hybrid and requirement of some online. What's your understanding of what these days will entail as the teachers return on the 2nd, preparing for the students on the 9th? I've seen reference to sanitization and what have you, but good gosh, I mean, that's where there's a different discipline inside the school that is mostly responsible for sanitization and cleaning. So what is this PL going to look like, professional learning days and or preparation days on the 2nd? What is it?
Well, I think that's got to be some adjustments for that. Now, circling back, I said the late announcement, I think it does beg into question the late announcement of the school year to stay at the planning process, but I take this as being if the plan is evolving, if right now we had before us is a plan that will evolve, and take into account improvements, adjustments needed there. That's absolutely where we need to be. We absolutely need schools to be safe for students and any and all adults to lend them. Safety tolerance for students, for adults and schools should be no less than what's expected in the rest of society. To that end, we have had confirmation we will be meeting with the chief medical officer in her office next week. We certainly have a number of questions we need to answer. I think the answers to those questions and what's needed in our schools, the answers to what's expected for safety protocols for our schools, our students, and the adults who enter them, that will really guide what we need in the start and fall, both from a professional learning standpoint and the measures and implementations. And that's a very important piece as well. We shouldn't expect any lower safety standards in our schools than anywhere else in society.
Of course not. So what are some of the questions that are outstanding?
Well, we've got a number of them in terms of how the physical distancing measures would be implemented, what's required there. You mentioned sanitation protocols. And we're looking forward to having a discussion on these and a number of those issues as we go forward. There's lots of questions we have, as I expect many people will have. And following that meeting, hopefully we'll get these questions answered. Certainly that's the intent of the meeting. We'll be able to guide more plans and feedback and input going forward. That's a key piece of it.
Physical distancing, you know, I think the only arena for that to be attended to or to be dealt with in a different fashion is moving around the hallways and stuff. Because in the classroom, the size of the classroom and the number of students, student assistants, and teachers inside it has not changed. If we were unable to physically distance last year prior to March, then if the same numbers present themselves in September, I don't even know why we can even pretend we can physically distance.
And that is a key piece of it, absolutely key piece, that we need to assure that whatever standards are set, there had to be measures and resources put in place to address that. And I want to circle back toward the resources. We've spoken a number of times over the years about the need for resources. Certainly the Education Action Plan, when implemented, did identify a number of needs, and I think those were positive first steps in that. Implementation of the Education Action Plan and the resources that were put forward for that represent some good first steps. But the resource we're talking about now, I want to clarify, is that the Education Action Plan resources aren't necessarily related to the COVID situation. When we're following the meeting with the chief medical officer, there's going to be questions answered. And to your point about physical distancing, if you're going to have adequate physical distancing, it's going to require steps and resources and measures put in place to address that. The technology resource that we referenced, yes, I think I wouldn't suggest those aren't good investments. But again, the question is we need to have resources put in place to assure safety assurances, measures that can be implemented, and while the resources from Phase 3, as Minister and others have referenced, were good first steps, there isn't a linkage between those resources and what we need to address the COVID situation. These are the focal point of resources. The NLTA, the teachers of this province, want our schools to be safe for everyone, students, and any and all adults. But in order for that to happen, there has to be a determination of what's acceptable under the healthcare directives. And how do you make that operationally work within those? I would anticipate that to make it work, it's going to require an infusion of resources, caretaking personnel, reduction in class size, and measures to accommodate for that.
Safety, of course, has been the guiding principle or the number one concern when it comes to public health regulations. But that also leads into the potential for unsafe. As of today, what's your understanding about curriculum delivery, supports, or forgiveness, whether it be a student doesn't want to go to school because they have a compromised immune system, and or someone at home has exactly that, and or a teacher has that, and or it's just a basic fear, or the declaration that they think it's an unsafe working condition. That's some of that's labor standards. Some of that is muddied when we have public health guidance that overrides some of those standards, I think. So what do we know about any of that? Because I guarantee you there's going to be hundreds of those cases.
There's a tremendous number of unanswered questions, which, again, back to my original point, is that when we have an announcement of this magnitude, the change of the date of the school year, it does ask some questions about the planning process and where we're to. Right now, it's important to make sure that, and again, I take this there, is that the plan is evolving, and there needs to be an examination of what improvements, what details, what meat on the bones, if you will, need to be implemented. We all want a startup of the school year that meets the need of our students, that meets the needs of our students in a safe manner. And this is the heart of where we are pressing for in terms of the resources that will be needed in the school system if we have two things. We want an effective school environment for students. We also want a safe environment for students and any and all adults.
They talk about hiring a variety of additional student assistants. That's one thing. And, you know, we started the school year, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the number was 89 full-time teaching positions that were unfilled on day one of the school year. It eventually got settled out, but that is really, that's far too many, just from where I stand and the outside looking in. I'm not 100% familiar with the mechanisms, but it was changed insofar as, anyway, you and I have had that discussion.
Yes.
So there was a problem all year about substitute teachers. Now, if people start to say, well, why don't we bring in portables and not allow for, you know, expanding the footprint of a school, allowing for more physical distancing, is that even realistic? Do we have enough teachers and subs at this moment in time to actually consider spacing things out, like using gyms or portables or what have you? Because if it was hard to get a sub last year, it's going to be even more so this year.
I would absolutely concur that we certainly have a concern about the availability of substitute teachers, and we have raised this issue for a while. There are a number of things at play here. We do have parts of this province where access to substitute teachers pre-COVID was problematic. And going forward is that there's two things at play. There's a need for that. Do we have the access to the necessary individuals to actually perform this educational, very valid educational instructional responsibilities? I'm hopeful that we will, but I certainly have had outreach from a number of substitute teachers that because of the dynamics they find themselves in, they're considering leaving the profession. They're considering actually leaving the province. I know that every single year, COVID will pass. At some point in time, this will pass. Every single year, jurisdictions from outside this province come into the province looking to recruit educators from this province because they are amongst the best qualified, most highly trained anywhere. The challenge now becomes that those individuals, those substitute teachers that have been in a precarious employment situation, they always have relying on hours, that have had a couple of things thrown at them, will they remain the province? I know a number of threats. They want to remain the province. They want to remain in education. But the uncertainty surrounding them are causing them to have pause for thought as to whether they will follow through on that.
Yeah, and that's
the opportunity presents itself, they may very well leave the province and or leave the profession.
Well, in years past, there might have been some merit to the grass is greener on the other side. Today, I'm not so sure. If you look at some of the neighboring provinces and what's gone on, the confrontation between teachers and provincial governments and some of the changes to remuneration and to authority and to curriculum, maybe this is a great place to be a teacher. I sure hope it is. Dean, I always appreciate your time. All the moving parts are still floating around. We need to nail a few of them down.
I certainly agree with that, Patty. I'm looking forward to having further discussions as we move forward.
Appreciate your time. Take care, Dean.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. It's Dean Ingram, the president at the NLTA. Boy, oh boy. You know, I know September is not tomorrow, but before you know it, it's September. And this, everything has just got to be much clearer, much more detailed, better understanding. And the teachers are going back early and some of them are crossed, but this is a different year, and there's a lot of work to be done. Let's take a break. When we come back, Melly's in the queue, wants to respond to Minister Jerry Byrne. On what front? We'll find out after this. Don't go away.